Get ready to be mesmerized. Get ready to be entertained. Get ready to be informed. And most of all, get ready to listen. The latest sports news, great interviews, and the best coverage from around the nation's capital. It's Listen In with KNN, the sports sound of the district, right now on AM 1340 and 96.9 FM, Fox Sports Radio. Here's your host, Kelsey Nicole Nelson.
Welcome to another edition of Listen In with KNN, presented by Fox Sports Radio, 96.9 FM and 1340 AM. With me, your host, Kelsey Nicole Nelson, joined, as always, by the one and only Ray Jones. Ray, how are you?
Hey, what's up, Kelsey? I'm excited to get into this basketball talk, man. We had some great matchups over the weekend, so ready to get into it.
Yes, NBA playoffs is the talk of the town as we are now in our conference finals. All right, that being said, fans, you know what time it is. It's time to sit back, relax, and get ready to listen in and follow along with the conversation on social media using hashtag ListenInWithKNN. Now, as always, it's time for me to head it over to my co-host, Ray Jones, to lead us off with This Week in Sports History.
All right, for This Week in Sports History, I chose May 12, 1985, when the New York Knicks won the first ever NBA draft lottery, enabling the Knicks to select Georgetown center, the legendary Patrick Ewing, with the first pick in the 1985 NBA draft. You know, the NBA draft lottery is right around the corner, and the Knicks are hoping to get that same luck and potentially draft Zion Williamson. So we'll see how the ball bounces for them this year.
No wonder you're in a good mood, right? You're waiting for Zion to head to New York. But that means that I am excited for the draft lottery, and shout out to you for representing our Georgetown Hoyas with the Pat Ewing for sports history, Hoya Saxa. I'm going to May 17th, 1986, because the Preakness is just around the corner. And this is when Snow Chief rebounds from a disappointing Kentucky Derby when he finished 11th to actually win the Preakness Stakes by 4 lengths before a record crowd of 87,652 at Pimlico Race Course. So, Ray, you already know I had to pick that one because I'm already excited to be at this year's Preakness race. So, in the spirit of horse racing, you know, it should be a fun one. Hopefully no controversy this time like it was in the Derby. All right, that'll do it for This Week in Sports History. We will now be taking a quick commercial break, and we will be right back with sports around the nation. Stay tuned.
Advertisement and sponsorship opportunities are now available for Listen In with KNN on AM 1340 and 96.9 FM, Fox Sports Radio, WHAP.
Welcome back to Listen In with KNN, where it's now time for sports around the nation, where we give you the latest updates and really our thoughts and opinions on what's happening in sports. And right now, Ray, of course, everyone is talking about the NBA playoffs. Ray, this might be the most memorable NBA playoffs in recent history. What do you think about that?
It definitely has been. Pretty much every series so far, everything's been pretty good. So I'm happy. I'm excited. Hopefully it continues this flow. It might be the best postseason of NBA history, honestly.
Yep. I mean, we're watching history. History at its finest. So thank you, NBA, for giving us great basketball in May. Not only March has the madness. That being said, it seems like, Ray, that Rockets game, oh my gosh. So everyone's talking about this. I'm sure the GMs are still full and they're still getting at it like crazy, but we're all talking about the Rockets loss and really more so, Ray, about how they lost. So of course it was an elimination game and the team needed to win. I mean, it was simple. So Kevin Durant was out. Steph Curry, Ray, was scoreless in the first half. So it seems like when you take those two factors, it seemed like the Rockets would have had that game. And that being said, the Rockets still fell on the short side of the stick, and I mean, the Warriors, they got their job done, whether it was Andrew Bogut or Klay Thompson. I mean, Jordan Bell, Quinn Cook, Andre Iguodala, Looney. It seems like everyone kind of showed up and did their job, even Livingston. So that being said, right, talk about this Rockets loss, and how do we look back at this Rockets team at the end of the season?
I mean, honestly, I think it's a huge setback. All season, we heard that, you know, the Rockets would have beat the Warriors last season if Chris Paul didn't get hurt. They would have went to the championship. Mm-hmm. They would have won the championship if Chris Paul didn't get hurt. Chris Paul wasn't hurt this year. He was there game six. And KD was actually hurt, so the Warriors were shorthanded without KD and DeMarcus Cousins. And they couldn't pull it off. It's kind of crazy because I definitely thought this Rockets team was better than last year's Rockets team. They had a lot of new additions, you know, with Austin Rivers, Amon Shumpert. They even had Kenneth Faried, who kind of disappeared this series. I was surprised that D'Antoni didn't utilize him. I felt like this was the ideal series for him. He could have matched up well against Draymond. So it's amazing to see the Rockets lose. I want to see what they do moving forward because Chris Paul's a year older. He's going to get a little bit slower. He didn't have a great series already. Next year is just going to be another year added to his career, those legs. It's going to be very tough for the Rockets to rebound from this. I'm not sure if they're going to try to rebuild. I think it may be too soon to just tear it down and panic and start over, but they don't have much cap room, so I'm curious to see what they do.
Yeah, we're all curious, like you said. I mean, you said it last year, kept saying, oh, well, we didn't have CP3. Now you had him, and again, I mean, holding Steph Curry scoreless right for entire half, you know how commendable it is, and you still show up short, and as you said, I mean, Kevin Durant is one of the greatest players in the game right now. Being out, there's just no excuse for the Rockets. So I'm sorry, but you should have, could have, would have, but you didn't. Sorry, Rockets fans. At least I had Beyonce, I guess, in attendance. I guess that's the one positive thing they can look at. But now, right, we will have Warriors and the Blazers. So a lot of people, of course, are talking about the Portland Trail Blazers as well because shooting guard Rodney Hood is questionable now, Gray, for game one of the finals, which, of course, will start tonight. And that being said, I mean, of course, Hood has been, I mean, you can't even say short to say of fantastic. But that being said, I mean, do you think Portland can still get the job done in game one against the Warriors?
I mean, even talking back to last series with the Rockets, KD's out for game one against the Blazers. So the Blazers are going to be coming in. You know, they're still down Nurkic. Ronnie Hood may be out with that hyperextended knee. But the way CJ's playing right now, and then Dame, I think Dame will come around. He had a little rough series against Denver, but they're going to put Steph to work. Steph's going to have to play defense against one of those tough guards, and they're going to put him to work on both sides of the court. They're going to put him in a lot of pick and rolls, the same way, similar to the way Houston did. But I really think that the Blazers have a chance here. I feel as though they can match up well. They're deep. They have a strong second lineup. They almost have 10. They go like 10 deep, so they have a very strong. They can match up, and even if KD does come back, they have the size and the length to match up with him, and they have the versatility to match up with him with Harkless, with Aminu. They even have Evan Turner coming off the bench. So they have several bodies to throw at him. But I really want to see the Blazers get this one. I don't know what it is about them. I think I became a fan of Dame once they beat the Thunder in the first round. I want to see it go seven. I just for it to be an exciting series, but I'm rocking with the Blazers this series.
I would love to see it go seven. I think we're going six, but it's hard to bet against the Warriors. But I do like Portland, and I do think the Warriors will continue to be contested. It will not be an easy, breezy Western win for the Warriors, in my thoughts and opinions. All right, Ray, so the other big game, of course, we're all talking about, the 76ers loss, or really, I should say, Kawhi's shining moment. Ray. The most emotion we've gotten out of Kawhi, I would say, probably his entire career. I mean, did you see his face post-game?
Oh, yeah, that shot was crazy. The way it sat there and it paused, it seemed like the whole arena just froze for a second. You see everybody was watching it. It had to bounce at least six times on the rim.
Yes. I mean, they made all of us anxious, and I'm sure doctors had to have more prescriptions for anxiety because that's what that bounce did. It seemed like the slowest bounce, Ray. And, I mean, Skip Bayless called it the luckiest shot. Was it a lucky shot, or was that just Kawhi doing that to us? I mean, did Kawhi know it was going to go in?
I mean, the way you see, honestly, if you look at the angle, it actually hit the front of the rim from his side and went over to the other side. So I wouldn't call it luck. It was just the crazy bounce he put on it, the nice arc he put on it to get it over Joel Embiid, who's over 7 feet tall. And it's one of the Kawhi shots. He's hit a shot like that before, but not with someone so big running at him. So
right.
He got to his spot on the floor and knocked it down. So you got to tip your hat to him.
Shoot or shoot, and Kawhi put us all on notice if you were not already. He's a spectacular basketball player, and I'm so happy for him. As you said, it was his time to shine, and it was a shot that he could make, and he did, even with the pressure in his face. Just, I mean, Ray, you talked about it, that bounce, finally going in. And the rest was history, and the 76ers, we will no longer see them. And think about it. The last time the Toronto Raptors played in a Game 7, Ray, it was a 27-point blowout loss to the Miami Heat back in 2016, all right? So this was a Game 7 that obviously they were trying to rewrite and rewrite history, and they had the chance to do it. So I thought that was fantastic. packed.
What's your thoughts on the Sixers losing? I mean, which route do they go? They have a lot of decisions to make with their franchise. They got about three quality core free agents. You know, Jimmy Butler, he has a player option. Tobias Harris is a free agent. You know, J.J. Redick's a free agent. There's also been some rumors about maybe getting rid of the coach. What do you see, or what do you think the direction the Sixers should go?
That is a great question. Before everyone starts panicking, first let me remind everyone that they are a young team and that they are still a great basketball team. I mean, again, we just talked about it earlier. That was one of the best playoffs, if not the best, that we can remember in NBA history. And you're right, there are a lot of questions. Right, I've seen a lot of talk about Brett Brown possibly being out, and we talked about it. Jimmy Butler and Harris, will they stay? I think the future is up in arms, and I think it just depends on, of course, how their general manager Elton Brand can really prove himself going forward. But I will say, if I'm a player, Ray, and I see what we've done as the Sixers organization, am I leaving? No, because there's promise, right? They have the talent, and really, the Sixers, Ray, could possibly win the East next season, right? And I'll put that on record. And saying that to say, you know, you look at their starting five and Embiid, Simmons, Butler, Harris, and J.J. Redick, fantastic, fantastic team. But I think even if you lose one or two of those pieces, right, the Sixers still have a quality team to build on. And if I'm a free agent, I am looking at that Sixers organization. What about you?
Honestly, I think if they lose any of those pieces, they're going to be in trouble.
So you think bottom of the East, if they lose any of those players?
No, not that bad. But they're no longer in the top four. You got to think, if they lose JJ, he's one of their main shooters. I think it was a huge mistake last season when they let Ilyasova go and Bellinelli leave, because that left them only one shooter primarily, would be JJ. They didn't have as much shooter, enough spacing on the floor this season. At times, you saw the offense get real stagnant. They didn't really have much of a bench, and it showed against Toronto. Joel Embiid, all the starters pretty much played nearly 40 minutes each game, especially in that last game seven. He didn't really utilize his bench a lot, and I don't know if he didn't trust them, or it was a shooting issue, or he just relied on his starters over too much. Could have been just a coach's decision. But either way, I feel like he didn't utilize his bench, and maybe he didn't trust those guys. Mike Scott is a great quality guy off the bench. You know, you still have James Ennis off the bench, but he didn't give those guys many minutes. And I think it came back to bite him, because Joel looked a little winded towards the end. He says he felt fine, but, you know, playing that long for such a big guy, such a physical force in the game, it's going to wear you down a little bit. But either way, I think they got to keep Jimmy. They got to re-sign Jimmy. That's going to cost him a lot. They got to get him the max contract. They got to keep Tobias Harris as well. You definitely can't let JJ go. There's been rumors about them shopping Simmons. I don't know about that. That might be a little bit obsessive, but they can't. I don't think they can afford to lose any of those three, honestly.
Yeah, and think about Harris since he came to that team and how they've, you know, been able to change in that regard. I think they do. They have a fantastic team right now, right? We wish you could keep it all together, but right, you talked about it. The NBA is a business. And we're looking at all of those contracts you have, indeed, in the second year of a five-year, $147 million rookie scale extension. Then you talk about Simmons. But Redick did take a $10 million pay cut. And he actually still was able to make $12.5 million last season. So you talked about JJ. I think he is important. But I wonder, is it enough for him to take a pay cut again? It's kind of the question that people are asking for Kevin Durant if he were to stay with the Warriors. Are the 76ers a good enough team, Ray, that you believe in them enough that you do take a cut and stay there? And I don't know. I think that question is up in air. But I do hope that they give Brown more of a chance. I hope he's not out, because I think, you know, the team is still growing, right? They're doing the growing pain. That's the phase they are in right now. And again, they're a great, talented team. But they're really going to be tested. But again, I think I'm glad the East is good again, right? That's what I can say. And I think the 76ers will be in the mix. But staying on basketball, right? I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I'm saying I think they got to bring them all back, because that lineup that you just stated, they only actually played 21 games together. So if they can actually get together and mesh well. You saw Jimmy Butler and Joel Embiid, they seem to develop.
Yeah, just think about that.
So they have some chemistry. I think they can definitely make moves if they bring all those guys back.
It'll be exciting. It's time to pull out your 76ers gear for sure. And that being said, let's head over west, Ray, where the Lakers have hired a head coach. Yes, Lake Show Rejoice. Ray, your thoughts and opinions on this hire?
It's just crazy, the turmoil going on in Lakeland right now. you know, with Ty Lue, he definitely shunned him, or they kind of like disrespected him a little bit with the contract they offered him, only a 3-year deal. It was pretty much to line up with LeBron's contract to say, hey, when LeBron leaves, you're out of here too, type of thing.
Yeah.
Then on top of that, they wanted to force Jason Kidd on as an assistant. You know, Ty Lue's a championship coach.
That was the part that he really didn't like, the Jason Kidd part.
Yeah, this is crazy to me that you would even add that to his whole situation, knowing that he wanted a 5-year deal, then trying to make him hire somebody on the staff, especially with J. Kidd wanting the job. He already announced that he wanted to be the head coach of Lakers anyway, so you're going to know he's going to kind of be like a little snake, kind of, not necessarily saying it in a bad way, but he might be just waiting his turn type of thing. Like, he's not necessarily going to have support Ty Lue and everything. He might be trying to pump himself up to get that position. He's done things like that in the past when he vied for somebody's job out in Milwaukee. I think it was Larry Drew, when Larry Drew was actually still the coach of the Bucks, and Jason Kidd was kind of like pumping himself up to become the coach of the Bucks, and then he wound up getting hired by the Bucks, so it was a weird situation. So you can't put it past J. Kidd to kind of do some things, and I can understand why Ty Lue didn't want him. They brought in Frank Vogel, and he actually accepted that as part of his contract. So we'll see how it turns out. He's going to have to watch his back, though. Be careful, because J. Kidd is in the wing, waiting for his turn.
Ah, right. Does not trust Jason Kidd. But as you said, I mean, Jason Kidd, I mean, obviously he has head coach experience. And why would he not want to be back, especially over a Lakers franchise? And Frank Vogel, I mean, let's be honest, the media is talking about this, and many aren't praising him, right? There was a Deadspin article that came out Monday that the headline was, Lakers hire backup head coach in case LeBron doesn't like the main guy. That was the headline, right, of the article. But as you said, I mean, Jason Kidd becoming an assistant coach of the Lakers, he has said he's very excited. He actually said that LeBron James played a key role in his decision. No surprise there. But that being said, I mean, so Kidd will be Frank Vogel's lead assistant coach on the Lakers. Of course, the Hall of Famer and James were teammates on USA Basketball. And, of course, they talk with each other, right? I mean, fire's caught. There's conversation there. Of course, Kidd has the previous experience with the Brooklyn Nets and the Milwaukee Bucks. And then, of course, he got fired midway through the 17-18 season with the Bucks. But really, they're hoping that he can help develop Lonzo Ball. Obviously, I think Kidd does have experience with younger players, and I think hoping to help them develop. But I'm like, you're right. Of course he wants that head spot job. And I think, again, I don't think any of us know how Frank is going to mesh or how Frank is going to do. And I'm actually happy, personally, right, that Tyron didn't take that job, because I don't know. I just think Ty Lue, I just don't know. I want to see him shine, and I don't know if he would have shined there, because there is a lot of work to do to build that team that LeBron wants around him. But I think the Lakers organization are sending a message. I think the whole situation with Magic Johnson, of course, got really messy and kind of made them look bad. So I think they're trying to show that they have a voice and that they do have power. And they're trying to reestablish that. And I think they're trying to get the Lake Show back, where they're trying to get the Lakers fans back. So it'll be an interesting season. And staying with that, the Cavaliers, Ray, University of Michigan to Cleveland. A college coach will now lead the Cleveland Cavaliers. Ray, when you first heard this news break on Monday, give me your immediate thoughts.
I didn't have much of an opinion on this. Interesting that they hired somebody who didn't have any NBA experience. You would have thought they would have maybe, you know, grabbed one of the coaches that were kind of waiting in the wing that got fired last year. That's a great opportunity for him coming from the University of Michigan. He had a lot of success there. So it'll be interesting to see him come into the NBA. He's an older coach, and he's going to have a rather young roster. It's almost like a college roster. So we'll see how he's able to translate from the college atmosphere to the NBA atmosphere, where the players have a little bit more power. But I wish him well. We'll see how it goes.
Yeah, as you're talking about University of Michigan coach John. That being said, they were saying, Ray, that he was actually tempted with the NBA offer previously with the Pistons last year, but they actually hired, of course, Dwayne Casey instead. But I've actually seen him in action from covering tournaments here in the Big Ten. And if you look at his college record, I mean, he has it, right? I mean, 9 NCAA tournament appearances. 2 Final Fours included in that, and of course the team won 2 Big Ten tournaments and 2 Big Ten regular season championships under his belt. But Cleveland, I think they only know they have up to go, right? So I think they're taking a chance. But I was surprised at the 5-year part, personally. But we'll see how things go up in the land in Cleveland. All right, it's now time for a quick commercial break, and we'll be right back.
Oh.
It's time to recognize those individuals that are doing good in the community and making a difference in the sports world. Without further ado, Kelsey presents this week's Do Good Sportsperson Award nominee.
Welcome back to Listen In with K&N, the sports town of the DMV, where as we begin to wrap up the show, you guys know what time it is. It is time for my Kelsey's Do Good segment, where we honor athletes and organizations doing good in the community. Now, we know Mother's Day just passed, so happy Mother's Day to all the mothers out there. I should say happy belated Mother's Day. But Russell Wilson, right, he kind of stole the cake, and I don't know, after seeing Russell Wilson's gift, I'm sure there were a lot of moms out there looking at their sons and their spouses and their daughters like, well, now you got to top that. If you didn't see, Russell Wilson actually bought his mom a house. So not only is he now the highest paid player in the NFL, but now his mom is the happiest person with her 5-time Pro Bowler son. Ray, did you see the video on social media of him surprising his mom?
Yeah, I saw the video. It was pretty dope on Instagram. Honestly, you know, once you get successful, that's every man's dream. To buy their mom a house. You know, their moms put a lot of work in raising them throughout their years as a child. So shout out to Russell Wilson. He pretty much lived the dream. He got married, had a beautiful wife, beautiful children, bought his mom a house. He's living a dream right now. Highest paid player in the NFL. He's at the top of the mountain.
Yes, Russell Wilson. I mean, he continues to do good. I mean, he's not only married to Sierra and it seems to have this perfect life, but he has a beautiful family. And Ray, as you said, I mean, he's making the money. Russell Wilson is living the life. I feel like he's underrated, but I don't know why we keep talking about Steph Curry, even though Ayesha Curry's taking a lot of heat right now. But Russell, I think, needs to get more accolades, right, for just being that family man. I feel like he can do no wrong.
Yeah, I agree. He seems like he's living his best life right now, so shout out to him.
Yeah, shout out to Russell Wilson. And now, of course, we have to show love to the ladies because we show love to women on this show because men's sports are just as equally important as women's. And Ray, I'm still excited for the WNBA season. It is officially here. And once again, I would like to encourage everyone to get a chance to go and see the WNBA's 12 teams that have now opened up preseason training camps. And once again, Ray, I am going to give love and shout out the WNBA teams this week. We have the Atlanta Dream, the Chicago Sky, the Connecticut Sun, the Dallas Wings, the Indiana Fever, the Las Vegas Aces, the Los Angeles Sparks, the Minnesota Lynx, the New York Liberty, the Phoenix Mercury, the Seattle Storm, and the Washington Mystics. So really encourage everyone to get out and watch these ladies ball out. And hopefully, Ray, I'm a little biased, but I hope you see the Mystics can get back to the championship this year. But props to all the ladies giving us great basketball in the summer. Ray, your thoughts on the WNBA?
I agree. I've actually been to several WNBA games, and I always enjoy watching them live. It's great fundamental basketball, and I'm definitely going to check out a Washington Mystics game this summer.
All right, Ray, we're holding it to it. So everyone there, make sure you see Ray come out to the Sports and Learning Complex where the Mystics now play in Southeast. And hopefully you can bring your little ones. That'll be fun. Well, Ray, I can't believe the show has come to a close so quickly, but this was a blast. Did you enjoy yourself?
Oh, definitely. One of the best shows I think we've had so far. It was a good show. Got some good information, nice conversation. So, you know, always a good time.
Yes, always a good time. So thanks to our loyal listeners, as always, for joining us. That's a wrap for this edition of Listen In with K&N. I hope you had fun, learned something, and, of course, jumped in on the K&N bandwagon. We start to listen in each and every week for new shows that drop online at FoxSports1340AM.com, as well as iTunes and Google Play. Be sure to subscribe, rate, and review. Your feedback and support truly do matter. Until next week, enjoy the sports world, smile, and don't take your fantasy sports too seriously because there's always another play.
Follow Kelsey on Twitter at TheRealKNelson. You've been listening to Listen In with KNN on AM 1340 and 96.9 FM Fox Sports Radio.